Brahmabhuyaya Kalpate, Bhagavad Gita 14:26. As soon as one is freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature, he is situated on the Brahman platform. Vivid examples of personalities thus situated are the four Kumaras and Narada. Such authorities can by nature understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but a conditioned soul not freed from the influence of material nature is unable to realize the Supreme. In Bhagavad Gita 2:45, therefore, Krishna advises Arjuna, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunyo Bhavarjuna. One must rise above the influence of the three modes of material nature. One who stays within the influence of the three material modes is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Tam Tvamaham Jnanaganam Svabhava Pradvastamaya Gunabheda Mohai Sanandana Jair Munibir Vibhavyam Katam Vimudha Paribhavayami. O my Lord, sages freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature, sages such as the four Kumaras, Sanat, Sanaka, Sanandana, and Sanatana, are able to think of you, who are concentrated knowledge, but how can an ignorant person like me think of you? These are the prayers of Angshuman. He's the son of that person we read about a little earlier, Asamanjasa, who was a mystic yogi in his last life, and in his play, he used to kill his playmates by drowning them. And everyone got upset, so he brought them back to life. And he said, well, I'm a mystic yogi, I can do this. But they didn't like that very much. So then he left Ayodhya. This took place in Ayodhya. So this is his son, Angshuman. And he has found the horse. First he saw the pile of ashes of his cousins. There are 60,000 sons. His cousins, they had been burnt to ashes. They burnt themselves to ashes when they saw Lord Kapila. So first he saw this big pile of ashes. Then he saw a horse, saw the horse he'd been looking for. The horse had been stolen from the sacrifice of Sagara Maharaj, his father. And now, then he saw Lord Kapiladev. And as soon as he saw Kapiladev, he understood who he was, that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now he's offering prayers to him. This verse is about how you can understand God. People think it's just an ordinary topic. In fact, people think that it's a topic that anybody without any qualification can discuss and has equal authority on. Everyone has equal authority on history or mathematics or science or any other topic, but on God everybody's an authority. So here it's said that you can't understand God unless you're in a transcendental position. You have to be qualified to understand God. In the example of some liberated persons, Angshuman is pointing out here the four Kumaras. They're generally mentioned when you speak of transcendentalists. Chatusan Kumar, they're called, the four sunnas. Sanaka, Sanandana, and Sanatana. After 30 years, I still can't remember all four of them. But they're the four sons, S-A-N. I've never found an answer to this. I've always wondered if they're called the four sunnas just because their name begins with sun. But sun also means complete, so it could mean perfection because they're considered to be perfect. In fact, different sons, S-O-N-S, of Brahma had different perfections. And these four Kumaras, they're considered perfect in jnana. Narada Muni is considered perfect in bhakti. But the four Kumaras were considered perfect in jnana, which is interesting here because it says that the Lord is jnana gamyam. He's concentrated jnana. So in order to understand him, you have to be perfect in jnana. Now, of course, this is transcendental knowledge. The four Kumaras are also famous as examples of liberated persons who are attracted to the Lord. This is an extremely important concept in our philosophy, because the impersonalists, they only want to reach Brahman. They think that's it. We don't have to go any farther than this. Brahman realization, once we realize that everything is one, everything is spirit, that's all there is to it. And then you reach the platform of equanimity. This, of course, is spoken of in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna gives different examples. The self-realized yogi sees pebbles, stones, and goals as the same, sees friends and enemies equally. This whole idea of equal vision and being undisturbed. Brahma-bhuta prasannatma. On the Brahma-bhuta plane, one is prasannatma, means completely satisfied. Na shochati, na kankshati. You don't want anything. You don't lament anything. So you're just peaceful. Shanti, shanti, shanti. You're just completely peaceful. So the idea there is that, so nothing is going to agitate you from that. There's nothing in this world that can move you from that position. When you reach that platform of supreme satisfaction, prasannatma, then that's it. You don't have to do anything. You have no desire to do anything, and nothing can budge you from that position. So the Kumaras, they were on that platform, but they went to Vaikuntha, and yasyaravinda nayanasya padaravinda kinjoka misratulsi makaranda vayu. It says they went into Vaikuntha and they smelled tulsi and saffron from the lotus feet of the Lord. And then they had a transformation. Sangshom akshara dusham apichitta tando. They're supposed to be, nothing is supposed to change them or disturb them, but they actually became agitated, you can say. They're not supposed to be agitated, they're supposed to be completely calm, nothing moves them. But all they did was smell that, the fragrance coming from the lotus feet of the Lord, and they became disturbed. Of course, that transcendentally disturbed. So the point of this, Atmaramas Chamunayo, is that Atmarama, they're Atmaramas, self-satisfied. But these self-satisfied persons who have reached the Brahma-Bhuta stage, when they can be attracted by Krishna. That means that Krishna is higher. And the attraction to Krishna is something that's real. It's a real spiritual emotion. Because they're not going to experience a material emotion. They're not going to change. Nothing material is going to shake them from their oneness with Brahman. Only something superior, spiritually superior, can move them from that. So this Atmarama verse, of course, is extremely important. That's why Lord Chaitanya spoke on it extensively. 64 explanations of the Atmarama verse is there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, it comes up a couple of times. First with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then again later, I forget. Sanatana Goswami, maybe? Lord Chaitanya explained it again. So he spent a lot of time on this verse because the point is very important. But even to get to the Brahma-Bhuta plane, one has to be pure. You have to become purified. Now, our process of getting purified is not some kind of impersonal meditation or yoga. The yogis and the jnanis, they can get to Brahma-Bhuta by their practices, but they can't get bhakti from there. Now, our process of getting to Brahma-Bhuta is bhakti. This is discussed in the second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Nashta Praishu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavati Uttama Shloke, Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. When you hear Srimad Bhagavatam or you serve the Bhagavat, Bhagavata Sevaya, then you become fixed in devotional service. And then what happens? It's interesting because it's kind of put two different ways. Sometimes it's said, just like this verse, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, the devotional service is engaged in, we engage in devotional service when we're on the Brahma-Buddha platform. So it's higher than that. But also, we get to the Brahma-Buddha platform by bhakti. Or we can. This, of course, is our process. So this is what's described in the Bhagavatam. That by Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, then Tadara Jistamo Bhava, Kamaloba Dayascheye, Cheta Etayananavidam Stitam Satve Prasidati. One reason you can't get real knowledge of the Absolute Truth is because your mind is always agitated as long as you're controlled by the three modes of material nature. This is discussed in this verse today. Pradvasta Maya Guna Beda Mohai. One has to be free from the contamination of Maya Guna, the three modes of material nature. Beda Mohai, which gives duality of vision, where you see matter and spirit. The Brahma-Buddha plane, you understand that everything is one, in a sense, everything is spirit. So then you have, in that platform, then you can begin to really understand things. You're not agitated by the three modes of material nature. As long as the modes of material nature are acting, then you can't, your mind is not peaceful. You're controlled and pulled. I was thinking of an example of how the three modes might work in a kind of a way that we can understand, and practically you might say, is that we have so many influences in our lives. We think of all the things that come to us over the course of our lives as we're growing up, beginning from the day that we're born and come into this world. We're in a particular situation, we have different people that we interact with, or they send their energy to us. So our parents affect us, and then our friends and our social situation, the country we live in. And actually every contact we have with the material energy is a kind of influence coming to us. And that, of course, has to do with our karma, what's gone on in the past, and that's all controlled by the three modes of material nature. So every one of those contacts, you can say, they're like one of the strings of the modes of material nature. We talk of the modes of material nature are like a rope or a guna. So it's a rope made up of millions and millions of strands of thread. So one way to look at it is that thread is all the influences that come to us, because what happens with influence, the influences push us one way or another. People are actually so predictable. We can just look at people and we know how people are going to react or act in a certain situation often. We can't predict the future, but in many ways we can predict what's going on. Just like if your neighbor is really into something or other, let's say like the Gators, you know, big Gator fan. So you know, well, obviously, it's Saturday, this person is going to be either going to the game or listening to the game or something. So you can predict the future. This is what this person is going to do this Saturday. So why is that? The modes of material nature are influencing us. So these are like strings that are pulling at this. We have this old illustration of the three modes personified in there, like a puppet. They're pulling the strings of the puppet. So the ropes are there. So we're being pulled like that. Modes of material nature pulling us by all these influences that come upon us in our lives. So as long as those influences are there, of course they tug on our minds primarily. The mind is where it begins. Things begin on the subtle platform and we enact them on the gross platform. So as long as the mind is being pushed and pulled in this way by the influence of the modes of material nature, then it's really not peaceful to think about transcendence. So by Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Tadarajastamo Bhava Kama Loba Dayascheye. Of course, this verse says the modes of Rajas and Tamas, the modes of ignorance and passion especially, what do? They produce Kama Loba Daya, Loba Adaya, means Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarya, these six things. Lust, anger, Kam, Krodh, Lobha, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. Kam, right? Kam, Krodha. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. So these six things. Kam, Adinam, Katina, Katita, Palita, Durnideshas. They're so agitating to the mind, the modes of material nature. There's this nice verses from the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. Kam, Adinam, Katina, Katita, Palita, Durnideshas. Tesham, Jatamayina, Karuna, Natrapa, Nopashanti. devotee is praying to the Lord that I've been the servant of an unlimited number of desires. I can't count them, he says. Kamadinamna katina katida, I can't count them. And these desires, I've served them like they're like the master, and I've served them like a servant. But they don't give me any relief. If you serve someone, usually you can satisfy the person and then they stop demanding. But these desires, these masters of desire, they don't stop demanding. They don't get satisfied. And I never feel any peace. No trapa, no pashanti. I don't feel, and I haven't been ashamed. I've never felt ashamed that I've lived this way. Then the devotee prays, Utsujjaitana atayadupate sampratam labdha buddhis. Now I have some intelligence by your mercy, so I'm just going to take shelter of your lotus feet. I'm going to reject this mode of living and just take shelter of your lotus feet. So the Bhagavatam says we can overcome all of this, these masters of desire that control us in so many ways, by hearing the Bhagavatam. So sthitam satte prasidati, when you get rid of the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance, then you come to goodness. Them evam prasanna manaso bhakti yoga prayojita bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate. So this verse is important. Prabhupada would often quote this verse about knowledge. How do you get knowledge? How do you get real knowledge? You have to be in the mode of goodness. That's what this verse says. Especially Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, realized knowledge of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You get it when you're in the mode of goodness. Evam prasanna manaso, when your mind is peaceful and happy in the mode of goodness. Bhakti yoga prayojita, by the practice of bhakti yoga especially. Then you can get self-realized knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Mukta sangasya jayate. Then you're really freed. Then you're really freed from all the influence of the modes of material nature. So here this Anshuman, he's saying, I'm not in that position. Of course, he's a humble devotee. He's speaking like this. But our conviction is that all the acharyas in our line are in this position. Today we're honoring Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So all of the gurus in the parampara, they have transcended the modes of material nature. Beginning with Lord Chaitanya's Leela, it said that all of the associates of Lord Chaitanya were nitya siddhas. So that all the associates in their line, in Lord Chaitanya's line, they were situated in the transcendental position. They had realized knowledge of Krishna, and they're delivering that to us. The Bhagavatam, of course, has so many self-realized souls who are delivering transcendental knowledge and telling us the key. If you want to know God, then you too have to be situated in the transcendental position. So this is what Anshuman is pointing out here. So it's a short class day today, so I'll stop here. Santva mahangyana ganam subhava pradustamaya gunabheda mohai sanandana jaya muni bhir vibhavyam katam vimurha paribhavayami. O my Lord, sages freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature, such as the four Kumaras, Sanat, Sanaka, Sanandana, and Sanatana, are able to think of you who are concentrated knowledge. But how can an ignorant person like me think of you? So maybe we can have a question or two if anybody has any questions. Sure, Krampa.
This episode is a prelude to the coming of the Ganges. Actually, this whole thing here.
Yes.
So we pay some rap attention. Yes. Soon the Ganges will be coming. Maybe in a few texts more. So.
This story leads up to the coming of the Ganges, because the Ganges will come and deliver the sons who were burnt. This takes place at the Ganga Sagara, where the Ganges flows into the. That's where Kapila Dev was meditating at that time. apparently before the Ganges had come. So there's this, the holy place dedicated to the Lord Kapiladeva is there, southeast of Calcutta, is the ashram of Lord Kapiladeva. There's still a temple there, Ganga Sagara, where the Ganges flows into the sea. So the Ganges, of course, flows through Mayapur too, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the bank of the Ganges. Well, that is very significant. This Ganges, of course, is very important to our sampradaya because of Lord Chaitanya's lila, especially in the Ganges. Yes, Rangavati.
One was the yogi that drowned his friends. What was the reason for his drowning, if there was one? Think of Ganga Devi, who threw her sons in the, killed them. And then the other question was, you were saying how people feel that they can speak about God even though, they don't know things, it's regular subjects, history, geography, but everyone feels they can speak about God. So I was wondering why. The only thing I could think of is that people that believe in God have a faith in God, and from that faith comes a sense of knowingness.
Now the first question, it doesn't really explain why he killed them. It almost seems like he was just, because he had mystic power and he knew he could bring him back to life, he was just sort of playing around. So he did that. There's only two verses about it, and it doesn't really say. All it says is that he could bring them back to life, so he did it. Now as far as why people, now there may be different reasons why people think they can speak about God. It's true that people have faith and they feel like they're getting some kind of realization, you can say, some kind of contact with God, and they want to speak about that. But of course, people who don't believe in God also talk about God. So it seems to me the main reason why people think they can do it is because they don't think that there's an absolute truth, really. They don't think that anybody knows, that it's all a matter of opinion. That's the problem. They don't think that there are really authorities, because it's all a subject that's all about speculation. Nobody knows, basically, that's the idea. Nobody knows, nobody has seen God, so how can anybody say anything about God? So in fact, it's more people who don't have any faith that will want to speak about it, because to them it's just a philosophical idea, it's just a concept. So one concept is as good as another, because who knows? It's like if you speak of the afterlife, they'll say, well, nobody ever came back to tell us about it. So I can say something, you can say something else, and nobody can prove it. So the same thing has to do with God. They think, well, who can prove it? One person can say one thing, one person can say something else. There are no authorities. Manamati?
Of a particular mode? What is that influences us to
the modes of material desire? What inspires it? Well, originally it's our desire to turn away from Krishna. What is that? Krishna bahir mukahana boga vanchakari nikatastai maya thari japati adhari. That verse says that when we turn our face away from Krishna, then the material energy grabs us, then maya grasta. That's another verse. Maya grasta jiva hoy se babu doy. So maya grabs us as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna. So yeah, that's the way it works, because it's all based on our initial desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Then the two shaktis of Krishna, avaranatmika shakti and pakshipatmika shakti, we get dragged down and we get covered over. And the modes of material nature, we know in the mahatattva there's the unmanifest modes of material nature. So material nature and the agitation by time and all these things, what do they start with? There's one place where Prabhupada says that the mahatattva is the sum total of the false egos of the living entities. So it all grows out of false ego. And what is false ego based on? It's based on the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. And then of course, once we get under the control of the material energy, the three modes, then our desires take us here and there. They take us even further and deeper into our being bound up. They take it, we become bound up more and more under the modes of material nature. It's self-perpetuating. you become in ignorance. And then in that ignorance, you do ignorant things, and those you have reactions to that. And part of the reaction is that you remain in ignorance, and you keep doing the same thing. That's why once you get stuck in the material energy, the three modes, it says you're bound up by them. So once you get into it, you can't get out. The only way you can get out is by Krishna Kripa, by Krishna's mercy, or Guru Krishna, or Guru Kripa. By the mercy of the Guru and Krishna, you come in contact with the spiritual master, the spiritual energy, you see a little light, then it's up to you to act on that. But that's Krishna's mercy. That's just given to the jiva out of his causeless mercy. That's the only way out. Otherwise, you just struggle and struggle and struggle, and you get more and more like Chinese handcuffs. You pull and you just get more and more bound up in them. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Wait. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai.